Hi, everyone. It is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. So I'm back from India. I know there was no gap in episodes, so you probably didn't realize that I was gone for 3 weeks, but I was, and I'm back now, and I'm here. And I'm excited to talk to you guys because it's been a while. It's probably actually a good thing that there was a break, just because I feel like at some point, the episodes that I was recording were getting super redundant, and it was getting a little scary as to how often I would talk about the same thing. And I was like, wow, my life has come to nothing. Like, I only have two topics to talk about, and that's all I ever talk about on here. So today we're gonna do a little like India debrief, and I'm just gonna talk about all of that, and then also just like catch you guys up to date, because although 3 weeks doesn't seem like a long time, it's felt like a long time. I feel like it feels like a lot has happened, but also like nothing monumental has happened in that time. So it's like also nothing has happened, but at the same time, it's like I just went through 3 weeks of my life in a totally different place, experiencing a totally different culture and people experiences, and that makes for something. And obviously it's gonna be hard to capture the entire trip just like talking about it now in hindsight, but if you have me on TikTok and you've been watching my TikToks, you probably have been seeing all of the India content go out and just being able to follow along with me and my trip. And yeah, I've really been enjoying the content that I've been making on there. I know that I kind of used my trip to India as the starting point after taking a break from TikTok, which I kind of forgot about. And then I was like, wait, yeah, like I haven't really talked about this, because the only thing that I ever talked about was the break. And I never talked about coming back, because when I came back, I was literally like getting onto a flight to India. So yeah, I guess I can talk about that too. But I've been really enjoying the content I've been making, and it's just been fun content. I feel like it's been doing well. And yeah, I'm feeling good about that. I think I have a better idea as to what kind of content I'm making going forward, at least for the time being, until I either decide to pivot again or I decide to just like get off. I don't know, whatever happens. But for now, this is the kind of content I'm going to be making, and I'm excited. And I definitely think it's going to be a challenge trying to figure out how do I continue making this kind of content while I'm back home, because my life isn't as interesting as it is when I'm somewhere else. But that's a challenge that I'm willing to take. And yeah, I'll talk about that later on. But anyways, yeah. The other thing I want to just like briefly mention is that around the time that I'm recording this episode, not when I post it, but when I record this episode, is the 1 year anniversary of me having this podcast. And just with the timing of everything, it's funny because like I had a podcast before this and it never reached a year. But if that podcast had reached a year, I would have gone all out. Like I had a whole like photo shoot plan and blah, blah, the whole thing. And with this one, I think just with the timing of it all, I kind of like, I knew it was coming up, but then obviously I was in India this entire time. And so it was hard to like plan something. And then I didn't even know if I was going to be back in time. And long story short, obviously I'm not doing anything huge. I could have done a whole episode. Like I'm not doing any of that, but maybe next year when I hit 2 years, I'll do something fun, like a photo shoot or get a cake or something. But this year we're just acknowledging that it's happened. And I guess it's a cool thing that this podcast has lasted a whole year, because commitment. And sometimes I have difficulty committing to things. So the fact that I committed to something for a whole year, I mean, to be fair, it's something that I've always wanted to do. So like, why would I not commit to it? But like, it was easy to commit to this, but still, like, I've committed to something for an entire year, and now it's gone through an entire year. And now you've essentially gone through an entire year of my life with me, which is kind of cool. Especially if you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning, you've now known me for an entire year, and you've literally watched me go through the, what's it called, ebbs and flows of life over the past year. And let me just tell you, wow. Because if anyone remembers where I was at a year ago, yeah, it's been a journey. It's actually been a journey. I really do feel like this past year has been kind of the craziest year of my life. Like I said that when my birthday came around, and I still feel that now. It's just one of those things where it's like this past year has actually, like, I don't think there's ever, well, who knows, but I have no clue if there's ever going to be another year that tops how crazy, chaotic, and eventful this past year was. Because if you look at me from a year ago, like, whoa, literally whoa. So yeah, and I think actually the whole like India trip, well, I'll talk about this too, but I feel like it kind of marked this transition into a new chapter. But also it was kind of like a full circle thing for me, where it was like, this is just a good way. I think my dad's literally, what is my dad doing? He's just frolicking. Yeah, it's been a year. So okay, I acknowledge that. Now we know, yay, a year. If someone wants to get a cake for me, not when I mean for me, because who's gonna get me a cake here? No one. But like, if you want to get a cake for yourself to eat in celebration that I hit a year, you can use this as a sign or whatever, something like that. Anyways, so I tried recording this episode yesterday when we like first got in. And of course, I was like, the moment I was doing really good. I did pretty good throughout the day. But the moment I sat down on my bed and started recording, I went completely delirious. And I was like so frustrated trying to talk. And I was like, this is not happening. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll wait. So today I'm much more well rested. I woke up probably before 6 a.m. But then I got up and I went to the bathroom and I thought it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, okay, there's no way I'm getting up now. So I got back into bed and I tried to go back to sleep. And then at some point I heard my dad in the kitchen and I was like, oh, he's awake. Okay, cool. So I was like, I'll take that as my sign to get up because I had just been rolling around in bed like nothing was happening. So I get up and then I realized it was 6 o'clock and I was like, oh, it's actually a reasonable hour to be getting up. I actually thought it was like 3 a.m. and I shouldn't have gotten up at that time. So I started the day and now it's before 10 and I've done my entire morning routine. I literally like did a little bed rotting, just like laying here, like on my phone. I made myself a coffee and now I'm recording this. So a lot has happened basically in the past 4 hours. So where do I even start with this? I don't even know. I guess I'll start from the very beginning. And, you know, again, I won't be able to cover everything, but I'll cover whatever I can cover. So we got in around the same time that we got in here, if that makes sense. So basically, we arrived in India around 9, 10 a.m. and we arrived back home around 9, 10 a.m. I don't think I've ever done something like that before where like the flight got in, like the flight that went there got in around the same time in that time zone. God, this is so hard to explain. Anyways, the point is, this was the first time, you know, I've flown to India. This is my 10th visit, actually. So now we're in the double digits. But I've gone to India so many times. We've done different flight paths. For the longest time, we would go through Europe. And then last time I went, my dad booked me a flight that went through Dubai. And we did the same thing, same flight, but the timing was different, which I'm not really sure. Like, I'm trying to remember how the other one worked, and I can't remember. But the thing is, we would usually get in the early morning, so like 1 a.m. And then of course someone would have to pick us up from the airport, and it's like kind of an inconvenient time because like who wants to go to the airport at 1 a.m. to pick someone up? No one, but people would still do it. And then we would get to the house and it would be like 2 a.m. at this point. And of course you're like totally exhausted, completely wired and all that. But then there's that excitement of like seeing everyone, and then everyone's up and like everyone's sleep gets disrupted because now it's 2 a.m. and everyone's like sitting around getting excited. And then you finally go to bed and of course you're so entirely exhausted and like you want to get like a full night's sleep because you just spent hours traveling and you didn't really sleep during that time, especially because in the earlier years I would not sleep on planes whatsoever. Like I was lucky if I got like an hour or two on a 25, 26 hour travel day. So anyways, you get there and you're totally exhausted, and then finally like around 3 a.m. you can go to bed, but then you don't want to wake up. And I remember last time, oh my God, I was like so upset. My grandmother decided to wake me. Well, I mean, fair. I think it probably was like 12 or so at this point, like 11, 12. But she like decides to wake me up. But the way she woke me up was like she went outside, like the balcony was connected, went outside onto the balcony and was just like tapping on the window. And of course I woke up and I just like the whole day really sucked. And then I got sick. This was last time, mind you, not this time, but I got sick. I think I kind of did it to myself. I think I gave myself food poisoning, which is beautiful. And so I was sick for the first like 48 hours that I was there. So it was not great. So in the past we had this sort of thing and it's just like not fun. And then you have that massive jet lag where you literally like get up at like 4 a.m. for days on end until you finally adjust towards the end of your trip, and then you come back and then you have jet lag again. It was always a mess. This situation, although still brutal because you're still flying for so long, was so much better because essentially we left Miami around 12:45 a.m., which you have to kind of suck it up because like obviously you wake up at some point and then you have to go through the entire day and then you have to go through the entire night. So you do have to suck it up, but it wasn't the worst thing ever. I thought I was going to hate it more, but I didn't hate it as much. Of course, you're like entirely exhausted once you get onto the flight. And then the first thing they do is serve you dinner, which is like kind of like a smack in the head. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like I was ready to hop onto this flight and like snooze, and now you're serving me dinner. But anyways, they do that. And then you get your sleep time. And there's a lot of sleep time because the flight is literally like 14, 15 hours actually. So you can snooze as much as you want if you can snooze. Luckily, both times, it was even better coming back, but going there was also not the worst. I definitely got at least a couple of hours. In fact, I made a TikTok about this where I did an hour by hour play of the flight, or actually the travel time, travel situation. So you can literally watch me go through 25 hours of a day traveling. And I got at least, I mean, was I really sleeping during that time? Probably not. But I got like 7-ish hours of snooze time on that 14 hours and 50 minutes, so it's more 15 hours. But on that 15 hour flight, I got about 7 hours of snooze time, I think. And then I did get a little snooze time on the flight there from Dubai to Delhi. So got there, obviously exhausted, but got there at 9 a.m. So the day has just started. So essentially you just force yourself to push through, and then you go to bed at like 8-9 o'clock, like a little bit more of a reasonable time. And then I basically slept through the entire night, and I woke up at like 6 a.m. and I was feeling good. And I never dealt with jet lag there, which was like fabulous, because who wants to wake up at 5 a.m.? Like, I was always like, you know, I think the earliest I really woke up at was like 6, which is like still a reasonable time to be getting up. But like 4 or 5 a.m. is kind of like, it's still a little too early to be doing this. And over time, my sleep schedule definitely started to get pushed back a little bit more. So like I would wake up more like 9, and then even towards the end, it was like 10. I was really pushing it, which I didn't love. But yeah, anyways, long story short, jet lag was really not a problem going there. So that was good. Love that. Also, the good thing is on the first day, because we had this entire day, I think initially the plan was just to stay in, but then I really wanted to go to Uniqlo. And since we don't have a Uniqlo in Miami, and I knew that there were Uniqlos in New Delhi, I was like, we must go. And I'd mentioned it, and I think it kind of came up, and it was like, oh, you know, we could go to Uniqlo. And I was like, let's go to Uniqlo. So we went out in the afternoon, which was good, because if we hadn't gone out, I think I would have just like, I was going through it over lunch. Like, I actually thought I was like, I didn't feel good whatsoever. And I was like really struggling. Like, it was a mix of exhaustion, and also like I think I felt very nauseous and dizzy. There were a lot of like symptoms. There were like moments where I felt like I was like sprinting across the room, or I was about to throw up, and I was just like sitting there, and like lunch was going for such a long time because everyone was chatting, and I was like trying to sit there and like exist, but I was like, guys, I'm literally tweaking right now, like I'm not okay. And everyone just like didn't realize. I was like, please, like, stop talking, I need to go like spend some time alone. So anyways, but we went out and I felt good, and we went to Uniqlo, we went to Connaught Place, if you've ever been to Delhi, which is just like a shopping market plaza situation. So they have Uniqlo there. It's a small Uniqlo. I got a dress for myself. I'm actually wearing it right now. It's a denim dress. And then I also got a dress for my mom, which I have in white. She'd been talking about getting it for herself, and so I thought, if I'm in Uniqlo, might as well buy it for her. So yeah, we did that. And then we also like went to a couple of other stores, got some, well, my aunt got coffee. My dad and I just sat there, watched her drink the coffee. And then when we got back, we had dinner, and then we went to sleep, and it was good. And so that was kind of getting there. And I feel like yesterday was sort of the same thing, where it was like we got in 9-10 a.m. got out of the airport, we got home by 12, and then my mom called and was like, hey, like, do you want to, I had this whole plan, I was gonna go to Chick-fil-A, and I've only been to Chick-fil-A once, and it wasn't like memorable whatsoever. Like, I had it and I was like, okay, cool, like, thanks for sharing. Like, one of my friends had taken me, and she was like, you have to try it. And I was like, thank you for sharing, but this is like not really standing out to me. And I'm not very much a fast food person. Like, I don't tend to eat from fast food places anyways, but it wasn't like one of those situations where I was like, I'm definitely gonna come back here, like, I definitely want this again. But when we were in the Dubai airport, they had all of these restaurants. They literally like had a McDonald's, and then they had a Hard Rock Cafe, and I could just like see all the fries on the menu, and I was like, I need fries. And I really thought about getting some while I was in the airport, but my dad did this whole thing. We were going through the airport, and like, we had just eaten on the flight because it was the shorter flight first. I wasn't necessarily hungry, and also my digestive system was not having it. Like, she was also going through it. So I was kind of like, maybe I shouldn't be just like stuffing myself with more food if I'm not feeling that great right now. But we were walking around, and there were all these restaurants and like their menus, and I was like, oh my god, look, they have crepes, like they have this, like they have this. And I really thought about it, but when I mentioned the crepes to my dad, he was like, okay, I'm not hungry. And I was like, no, obviously you're not hungry, I'm aware of that, but like, for me. But then I just took it as a sign to not get anything. I was like, they'll always have food on the plane. But then I actually didn't eat that much on that flight, So I could have gotten the fries. So then anyways, on the flight, I was like, okay, when I get back home, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A and I'm going to get myself some fries, even though I don't think they have the fries that I like want, but it's fine. I was like, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. Like I'd already decided this. So that was my whole game plan. And then I got home and my mom called and she was at treatment and she was like, hi. And I was like, hey. And she was like, do you guys want to meet me for dim sum after I finish my treatment? And I was like, okay, we'll do that instead. We can have that. So we went out for dim sum and that was good too, because again, I think if we had just like stayed at home, like it would have been brutal. So I think really the key with that sort of like flight situation is to stay awake the entire day and go out, whatever it is, like go do something. Okay, so now that I spent way too long talking about that, I have to like mention this. I've had this like stuck in my head the entire time that I was there. I was like, this is gonna get onto the podcast, I swear. I wish I could explain what it's like to be in India, my personal experience, not like the general experience, but my personal experience of what my life looks like when I'm in India, but I simply cannot. I feel like you just have to experience it to understand like what life is like there, but it really is a different world. Like it is a different world and it is kind of insane, and I could never explain it because it's just so complex. But I still have this hope. I've always like thought about this when I was younger and I still have this hope today. I kind of had forgotten about it, but I think every time I'm there, I like re-remember this. Well, there's two hopes. Number one, I feel like whenever I'm there, it has me really thinking about like a significant other, but not in the sense that like I want one, but just like the concept of having one in the future, specifically like a future husband, because I don't think I would bring, I mean, it's funny because last time I was there, I was like fully in a relationship and I was like, next time I come, like I'm taking you with, which like next time would have been, we would have been dating for like over 2 years at that point. Although I'm not even sure when I thought we would go. Anyways, point is, I was like, I'm bringing you with and all that. Now that I've come to my senses again, my significant others can meet my parents. That's totally fine. My family can hear about it, like my Indian family, but meeting them would mean like, this is for real. Like this is for real. And I would probably assume that would be around the time that we're like, if there is ever a future partner, you know, who knows? But I would assume that at that point, we probably would be getting engaged around that time, because I feel like it's just, you know, actually that's just the way it goes in sort of the Indian culture, where it's like if you bring someone home, it's serious. I mean, obviously it's like with time things have modernized and things have changed and it's not completely like that anymore. Also, like most people don't get, or at least, okay, I can't speak for India as a whole, but at least like in my family and, you know, the people that we know in India, most people aren't getting an arranged marriage anymore. Even though I will have to say that sounds really tempting. I am kind of tempted by the possibility of having an arranged marriage because I just feel like it's so much more simple. You know, like at least then there's like a background check on this person. I know it's hard to like judge character, but like at least you know what kind of family they come from, you know, probably also like what they do, because I assume that at that point they're working. Like it's like you have a general gist of like who this person is, and I feel like there's some security in that that obviously you can get in like a partnership where you find the person, like it's not hard. But I don't know, for some reason, as someone who just has totally taken themselves out of dating and really hates the dating scene and feels as if it's really not made for success, I'm tempted by the arranged marriage, okay? But anyways, being in India always has me thinking about like a future partner, because A, I want an Indian wedding. Who doesn't? While we were there, it's so funny because this topic actually does come up. The arranged marriage topic came up, obviously not like seriously, but like it was mentioned. The wedding topic comes up. Like it does come up actually. And it's not uncommon for it to come up. Like, I feel like here, like, the idea of talking about marriage, I mean, of course, not to everyone, but at least, like, in the culture that I've sort of grown up in here in America and the people that I've gotten to know, like, it's kind of insane to be talking about, like, marriage so openly and, like, a future partner, husband, so openly at such a young age, even though I'm technically not that young. I mean, I am, but also like, it's not like I'm like a teenager, like I'm a full grown adult. Like if I wanted to get married, I could get married. But I feel like there it's like not uncommon to talk about it, and not just like in the sense that like, oh yeah, like dreaming about it, like literally talking about it as if like this is something we need to start prepping for. I literally kept saying the phrase like, it's never too early to start prepping for a wedding. And no one was like, girl, what? Everyone was like, yeah, you're right. It never is. So there were kind of like some instances where it came up. I feel like it's just talked about a lot. Like wedding marriages is such a big topic in Indian culture. Like if you are a legal adult and you could get married, it probably will be mentioned from time to time, and more often than not, actually. But anyways, there were a couple of instances. Number one, my dad and I, okay, so towards the end of our trip, my dad had to go into hiding. It wasn't that serious, but he had to go into hiding. So he basically just had to leave the house for the afternoon. And I was like, I'm coming with because I'm bored. And initially my dad just like wanted to go to a coffee shop. And I was like, boo, boring. But he was like, nope, that's what I'm doing. And then I'm going to go see a relative. I'm going to go see my cousin. And I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'll like follow along. But then we have a driver and the driver sees my dad and he's like, oh, I have a tailor shop to take you to. And my dad's like, excuse me, like a little skeptical, but the driver then convinces him. So we hop into the car and we go to this place that I don't think either of us have ever been to before. And we land up in this little like shopping market plaza situation, shopping street. And we're looking around and we're like, wow, there's all these like really nice dress shops and like men's clothing shops, like, and automatically, because my dad is like very specific about price, you know, if he's going to buy something in India, it has to be cheaper than the United States. And when he gets his clothes tailored, like he wants a good price on it. And basically the driver had taken us to like an ultra expensive place. And I'm not completely sure what, I think he thought he was impressing my dad. And then also because my dad, I guess, comes from the United States, he expects higher quality, something of that sort. I don't know. The driver is a sweet little angel. Like, he is so, so sweet. I'll talk about him too. But anyway, so he drops us in this place and we go into this store where the tailor is supposed to be. And it's clearly like a store for grooms, as in like their wedding clothing. So we're looking around. I'm like, wow. And then we get out and my dad's like, okay, clearly I was not going to get my pants tailored from this place because their fabric is Italian and it's going to be like ultra expensive. But then I see this dress shop and I'm like, oh, like, let's go see it. And you can see that it's like lehengas, like nice lehengas. And so we walk in and the designer greets us and she was like, hi. She was like shopping for a wedding. And me and my dad look at each other and we're like, oh, this is a wedding store. And so then we talked to her a little bit and she proceeded to tell us that this is actually like a wedding street, like wedding shop street. Like all of the shops are designed for wedding goods, mainly clothing, but also like jewelry goods, like stuff like that. And all the dresses in her store are wedding dresses, beautiful lehengas that were like $3,000. My dad told me afterwards because they were in rupees and I was looking at the price and I obviously didn't know how to translate it because it was in lakhs, which I guess translates into thousands. And I was like, oh, $3,000 for a dress. Beautiful. But obviously they were really, really beautiful. And she was talking about that and all that. And obviously like when she was like, oh, shopping for a wedding, I was like, no, not yet. But you know, you can always start planning like maybe in the future. And she was like, yeah. And my dad literally was like, first we have to find her a man, which is so funny because my dad like usually hates the topic of like men dating. I think I told you guys in an episode recently. Oh, wait, it's the episode that I'm working on right now. I think I told you guys in that episode that there was this thing that happened where my dad literally told me like he doesn't want to meet any future significant other I have. So like the fact that my dad's like openly talking about me needing to find a man, like they need to find me a man, is like hilarious, but very open about it. He was like, we need to find her a man first. And she was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then my dad goes, the problem is she's very choosy. And then the lady goes, no, it's good to be choosy. My friends are getting divorced left and right. Like, it is good to be choosy. And I was like, thank you for validating that. And thanks to my dad for having to bring that up. Like, I don't know, because it also, I know why, what that, okay, hold on. I missed a key part of the story. What was said before all of this was something along the lines of like, obviously I was like, oh, or okay, I think my dad probably was like, oh no, we need to find her a man first. And then the lady goes, well, she's very beautiful. She'll have absolutely no problems finding a man. And then my dad goes, well, the problem is she's very choosy. And I heard that statement said multiple times while I was in India from different people. It was always like, oh, she's so beautiful. It'll be so easy for her to find a man. And I'm staring at them and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Is this a joke? Is this a joke? Because why do I keep hearing this? And yet, like, I feel like that statement basically insinuates that men should be like falling for me left and right. It sounds like I should have options, but I don't. No man is looking in my direction. There are no men. There are no even potential suitors. There are no options. It doesn't even matter that I'm choosy. There's not even like options for me to choose from. There is not even one singular man. Can we stop saying this? It was literally getting under my skin every time someone said that. I was like, thank you. And I was laughing, but I was crying inside because it's not even like I want a man right now, but can we not say this if it isn't true? Because there are no men. It is actually a problem. There is no one. So anyways, I heard that so many times and every time I was just like, yay, thank you so much. You're so kind. Why is everyone lying to me? So there was that, and there was obviously like the mention of my future wedding, because obviously I'm gonna have an Indian wedding one day. When that is, I don't know, because there are no options, no men, no potential suitors. But like I said, this always gets me thinking. And then I think the other thing that it gets me thinking is like what kind of man I ultimately need to marry or be with, because I think given sort of my life history, my life situation, all that, the fact that I do have like a full-on second home in India, and there's so much, there's a big part of me in that. I have to date someone that's very sophisticated and cultured and educated. And in the past, that's not exactly the kind of people I've gone for. I also don't even know if I could find that kind of person. But here's to hoping, because I think I have to be, I don't know, for some reason when I'm there, it just like sparks this realization of like, you have to be like actually really choosy with who you end up with. I don't know why it just does. Like, I can't even explain why it just does. I'm just kind of like, I need to be marrying someone who's going to be okay with the idea that we might go to India like on the yearly basis and that's going to be our life. Like, are you okay with that? I also, it always has me thinking about like finding that person, because one thing I really want to do is travel throughout India. I've only ever been to, well, I've been to Agra too. Oh, I forgot about that. But I was like four. I've been to Agra, Taj Mahal. I've been to Patna and I've been to Jaipur. And I hate every time I say any word, because Hindi words, the pronunciation, I just say it in the most American accent. It's embarrassing and I already got called out for it, but that's just me. Unfortunately, that's the way I pronounce it. And every time I try and like really be mindful about how I'm pronouncing it, it still comes out wrong. So I just have to kind of accept that that's my life and that's who I am. And I was born with an American accent, or not born, I guess you learn it, but I've very much an American accent, and that screws up my ability to pronounce Hindi words. Anyways, I've been to those three places besides Delhi, but I very much would like to travel through, like extensively travel throughout South Asia, not South Asia, South India, and then also the hills. So go even further north. I've never been up there. There's so many places I want to go. And the thing is, I would never travel through India by myself. I'm trying to get better about this, but I'm still not completely comfortable like going out in Delhi by myself. So got to figure that one out first. But the point is, I wouldn't travel through India by myself. It's not generally considered the safest thing for women. And it's generally recommended you travel with someone else. And personally, even though I was able to solo travel to other places, those were definitely considered safer places and I felt more comfortable there, but I wouldn't do it. So I've always thought about it, and I was like, well, who in the world would I travel with? Because my family isn't necessarily taking me. I think all of them are now quite on the older side and traveling isn't the easiest for them. And a lot of them, like, you know, my dad and my aunt, for example, like have done so much traveling through India and they know it very well. And obviously they don't, especially my dad doesn't necessarily care to like go back to places because he's already traveled so extensively through India. So he definitely isn't taking me. So I've always thought about it. And I was like, well, if I were to go, and like the idea is you want to go with a man, it's just the general concept. So I've always thought about it and I was like, well, future husband, significant other, whoever, partner, like whoever they are, you are going to be traveling extensively through India with me. Can you please show up now though? Because I really want to start traveling. Like I really do want to see India. And I do recognize like you can't even do it in one trip. I would have to do it, which I guess it's a good thing that I would have to continuously go back to India throughout my life, or at least I think I would. I don't know. But I do feel like I have a responsibility to be there. Also, my aunt, for example, is unmarried and doesn't have children. And I suppose I have never really thought about, I mean, I've thought about it, but not like extensively as like, what would we do? But we're her most immediate family. And although we have like a ton of family in India, and I'm sure, you know, if something needs to be taken care of, like someone there could take care of it. But I think ultimately, like figuring out what to do with her when she is older and can't completely take care of herself is something that we would have to consider. So for that alone, we probably would have to go back quite a bit unless we were to literally immigrate her to the US, which I don't even know if she would consider doing that. She might not. She might want to stay in India. So it's like, that's something that needs to be considered, but that's not really something that needs to be considered now, but just like a thought in the back of my mind. I feel like definitely being there really does make me think about the future and think about like things that need to be taken care of, and the fact that like eventually my sister and I will be like full grown adults and will possibly have to take care of stuff like that. And it always scares me, but I'm kind of hoping that like, I always just trust by that time we'll have the life figured out a little bit more and like know stuff and be able to handle it. And I guess the good thing is ultimately I do have my sister and we have each other. And so if we have to figure things out, also, I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm like, maybe my dad will move back to India at some point and take my mom with me. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he took my mom with me. That doesn't make sense. Took my mom with him. Actually, I think if anyone would want to move to India, it would be my mom. But yeah, when we were there, my dad definitely was just like so much more happy and lighthearted and joyous. And it actually coming back, like we were literally in the airport and I was like holding back tears. And obviously I was sad to leave, like myself, like I did not want to leave whatsoever. But then every time I would think about like the fact that my dad was leaving too, I had to really hold back the tears because I felt sad for him. And I don't even think he was like, I'm sure he was sad himself, but you know, I asked him, I was like, how are you feeling? And he was like, oh, I'm not really sure right now, you know, lots to process. But I was like feeling sad for him. I was like, oh, and now you have to go back home. And I feel like you've just had like a really good time here. And like, it's your home. And it's clear that you like, you have a different spark when you're here. And it just makes me sad that like, you can't spend more time here. And also like the topic always comes up of like my grandmother. She's about to turn 89. And she's still very healthy and pretty fit. I mean, obviously she could be healthier, fitter. Like there's always stuff that could be done, but for the most part, she's still very much slaying and, you know, very much with it. And still, I feel like on this trip, there was a little bit more of this like conversation of like, who knows? That's something we have to think about. And the thing is, my grandmother comes from a family where women have literally lived past 100. So it would not be impossible for her to, or it wouldn't seem impossible. I don't know. Like it wouldn't be improbable that she lives for another decade. I was going to say or two, but probably not two. But I mean like at least for another decade, like that's not an improbable situation. But still, you know, I guess she is definitely getting to an age where it's like, oh my God, I don't even want to think about that. I literally kept telling her, I was like, you have to be immortal. And she would like look at me and she was like, what are you saying? Because she doesn't understand what I say because of my American accent. So I'd have to repeat it and I'd be like, immortal. And every time I would have to like repeat stuff, I was like, maybe I should try it in a British accent because she would definitely understand me more, because what she understands is like British English, not American English or the American accent properly. So I was like, maybe I should just start speaking in a British accent and hope that that goes over well. Anyway, so that definitely like made me a little sad too. Just like, ugh, guys, Jesus Christ. So, okay, wow, we really like started with one thing. There's a lot to cover. So back to the significant other thing. There are two main reasons why I want a significant other, like a forever significant other, forever-ish significant other, not like a, you know, we're dating for now and then we're not going to be dating in like a year, significant other. I also just really want to take someone home to India. And this isn't just like a significant other. I've always wanted friends to come visit. I would say the same thing about Germany, but the thing is in Germany, I feel like I don't really have a home. My mom grew up in a house and it's her childhood home and it's still there. It still belongs to the family and all that. But the thing is, they already did the whole inheriting part and she didn't inherit the house. Her sister did. And obviously like good terms with sister. Like the last time we went, we stayed in the house, but it feels like a little bit more to like ask. I don't know. With India, it's like, I know that's my home. I've never had to second guess that that's my home and I will always have a place there. And I never would have to think about like, oh, well, I want to go to India. Like, where am I going to stay? Like, that would not even be a thing. But with Germany, I feel like that's always kind of been the thing. Like, as long as my grandparents were living in that house, sure, there was a place to go. But now that they aren't and my grandfather's dead. My grandmother is not living in the house anymore. It's kind of like, I feel like every time we go, we're kind of like, are we going to be able to stay there? Or is this going to be the time where it kind of like we get cut off in a way? And also there, well, first off, my mom's sister inherited the house. Second off, she has three kids. So I have multiple first cousins and they like actually live in Germany and all that. So it's like my sister and I really don't have that connection there. Like there's not, by the time our generation kind of comes, like by the time both my sister and I like are full adults and, you know, maybe married, have children, like if we go to Germany, I don't even think it would be to necessarily visit family. It would be more to like go and then we would probably visit family while we're there. But it would be more like a general Germany trip rather than like a, oh, we're just going for family, if that makes sense. And I think we wouldn't stay in my mom's childhood village specifically because there's really no place to stay besides the house. And if the house isn't really like ours to stay in, where are we gonna go? But with India, I never have to question whether there's a place to stay. Like there always will be a place to stay. So it really is my second home. And because of that, I've always wanted to bring people along and show them. And, you know, it would be very comfortable. Like they would get their own room and they would be taken care of and all that. And I'm like, please come to India with me, someone, anyone, because I really want to do that at some point sooner rather than later. I think it would be nice to like bring friends and just kind of show them, because it's a very, I know there are people out there who are like super big into India and want to go, foreigners, you know, who don't have a connection to India themselves, super big into India, want to visit, like it's a big dream of theirs. But then I feel like there are also a lot of people who wouldn't even ever consider it because it seems so foreign to them. But like if you have a friend there, if you have that connection, if you have a friend there and they have a home there, their family lives there, and you know, their family can kind of take care of you, like that's a very comfortable way to see a place that you wouldn't necessarily go to. And I'm like, someone please, like someone take advantage of that for me, you know, because obviously like that's my second home. But if someone wants to go somewhere where they wouldn't necessarily go otherwise, but they want like a very comfortable experience of that place, hi, I'm here. So I mentioned this guy, I think in one of my other episodes, there was this guy I met on a dating app who randomly reappeared in my life in the weirdest way ever. And then I don't know if I mentioned this, but we were talking for like a bit. It wasn't like a dating type talking, like it was just like talking. Like we were just having a conversation about something that we have in common and then some other couple things. Like it was almost like we were catching up basically. Anyways, so at some point, he ends the conversation kind of a little abruptly. Like the conversation kind of was ending, but he could have very easily picked it up and like said something else and then continued it, but he didn't. And I was a little like taken aback. This was like a couple of days before I went to India, and then I got to India and I was still a little devastated. Like I was telling my friend, I was like, he's still like, he fully did that. Like I clearly was a little upset about it because I was still thinking about it a couple of days later. But then I got to India and I started looking around and all that. And one day I go to this art museum and I post a picture of the art museum on my story, and who swipes up on it? Yeah. So the conversation starts again. We basically ended up like, because this was at the very beginning, like one of the first days that I was there. So then the conversation basically continues until the very end of my time in India. So basically for 2.5 weeks, we are conversing. Not every day, because he was doing this fun thing where he would take like over 24 hours to respond. And then I just kind of was mimicking his behavior because I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but I hate that kind of response time. Like I hate when the response time is infrequent, because first off, it's hard to have a conversation if you have these like massive gaps between the conversation. And also it was like weird because there were moments where he would like all of a sudden start responding like right after I sent a message. And then all of a sudden, the next thing, he was like taking over 24 hours. And I was like, hello, did I miss something? Anyways, while I was there, I came to find out that this man's actually a fourth Indian, which I would have never guessed because he looks completely white. Like it doesn't even seem like there could be a possibility that there's like a little bit of flavor to him. But no, he's fully a fourth Indian. His mom is half Indian, I assume half white. I didn't really ask about that part, but I can assume that her dad was the Indian one. And of course, this very much piqued my interest because I was like, oh my God, like I am looking at someone who could possibly look like my future child. It's not an impossible thing that my future child might look like you or might have that kind of mix. So obviously, interest very much piqued. And then we were talking about art in India and all that. And Anyways, long story short, it took everything in me, because at some point he was like, yeah, I really hope I can like visit India at some point for the art and all that. And it took everything in me not to be like, you should come visit sometime. Like, you can come stay here with my family and I don't know you. I really know nothing about you. You also, your response time is literally making me angry, but you can stay with me if you want. So come visit whenever. It was one of those things where it's like, I just want it to happen. Like, I just want to experience that. I just want someone to come visit or go with me. Yeah. Is that too much to ask? I think I'm going to have to do a whole separate episode on kind of career stuff. Do I even want to talk about that? No, not really. But there was definitely like that kind of conversation when I was there. Obviously, a lot of people, you know, knew that I'd graduated college and were curious as to what I was doing. And I kind of just told them, like, my dad tried to like prep me on what my answer was going to be, which I'm not sure exactly why he did that, because it really isn't uncommon in this day and age for people who have just graduated college to not know what they're doing or to not have a job. Yet, like, all of my cousins who are around, well, not all of them, but a lot of my cousins who are around my age also haven't figured it out yet or don't have a job yet. It's actually really not uncommon for that to be a thing, at least in my family, I guess. So I didn't understand why my dad was trying to prep me. And also the weird thing is when he tried to prep me, the answer that he like thought I was going to say was basically what I was going to say anyway. So I was like, I don't know, like what do you want? But I didn't really feel the pressure. I feel like there's this general stereotype of Indian parents, Indian adults, Indian aunties, uncles, really having high expectations for youth, especially the youth that has just graduated college. Like, they want to hear the names Google or Apple or whatever, like those kind of companies, or I'm going to get my PhD. But not a singular person batted their eye when I said I was just trying to figure it out, kind of taking a gap year. No one. In fact, some people actually commended it. Like, I talked to one lady and at first her reaction, I was like, oh my God, she's going to be like, what in the world is this girl doing? And then she was like, you know, that's so smart. I should have done that. And I was like, oh, okay. Yay. Love this. Glad we are agreeing that this is a good idea, because for a hot second there, I was ready for her to be like, that's a horrible idea. Like, what do you think you're doing? So it was that there was one of my aunt's friends. When I told her, she was like, you know, I took a gap year too. And at the time it was super uncommon. Like, no one did that. Everyone was confused as to why I was doing that. But she was like, it was a good year. You know, I did a lot of reading and all this stuff and all that. And I was like, okay, cool. And you turned out totally fine. So I feel just hearing different people's stories, especially older adults, kind of talking about how like when they were my age, they also just didn't really know what they were doing. I mean, obviously some people did. Like my dad, for example, like was always on a set track and never took a break and always knew what he was doing and always continued on. But also everyone was always like, your dad is so smart and blah, blah. Like whenever I go to India, there's always this stuff about, oh, your dad's this genius and his laboratory you used to have in the house. And like people always just talk about him as he's like a literal genius. And I'm like, thank you so much for sharing. I actually do live with that man. So I do know what it's like. Yay. But like even my aunt, for example, she was like, yeah, I graduated college. And I think at first she literally like went to work in a bookstore. I think that's the first thing she did after she graduated. She got a degree in maybe even psychology. I know what her master's was in. But anyways, point is like she took a couple of years of like doing whatever, still not really sure what she wanted to do, and then went back for a master's in social work. So at that point, she finally was like, okay, I've decided this is what I want to go into. But it took her a couple of years out of college to figure that out. So I was like, and again, you ended up fine. Like everyone here ended up fine. Like I'm going to be fine too. Literally not a singular person showed concern that I hadn't figured it out yet. Everyone was just happy that I was there, really. Like, honestly. So that felt good. That felt really comforting. And I think for that, I think it also kind of opened my eyes to the idea that like, oh yeah, like I'm on a gap year, like I can do whatever, you know? Like it's really I think a gap year is an opportunity to just test things out. And like, I know what I want to test out. So now it's just a matter of figuring out how do I test that out? And I've been applying myself to try and find a way into testing that out. And it's like, maybe in a year I'll know, maybe in a year I won't know. But the point is, ultimately I've gained skills and experiences by trying different things. And that can all accumulate into something bigger that eventually becomes more of a full-time thing, a long-term thing. Okay, what else? Yeah, so maybe I'll do a whole episode on that. I was really dreading coming back. Like, I actually did not want to come back. And that's because I was hoping that I would have a job lined up. Not a full-time job, but something part-time. There was one thing that I interviewed for while I was there that I was really, 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 really hopeful for. And I'm actually quite devastated that it didn't end up working out. Like, I'm still in my mind convinced that I just haven't heard back from them yet, because I was convinced that they were going to at least give me a decision, like tell me a decision. Because basically I had this interview. It was like at 12:15 a.m. India time. Beautiful. I stay awake. It's a phone interview. At first, kind of felt like I was not like full on butchering it, but I was like, I could be doing so much better at this. Like, I'm not doing a good job selling myself. But then I asked a question that was very unique, and it kind of sparked this whole new conversation. All of a sudden, the interview became a conversation, went over time. And it was one of those things where it was flowing so naturally. And I was telling her about all of my TikTok stuff and the loneliness stuff and how I created a community based off of that and how that's made me. It was just, it really like got into a good conversation. And so at the end, although I had wished that the beginning was a little bit smoother, I felt that the ending was really great. And I felt like, and she literally was like, okay, like you'll be hearing back from me. And so I was excited to hear back. Like, I felt like it went good. And also afterwards, I just sent her a little message thanking her for the interview and all that. And I never got a response to that, which I feel like is a little, you know. And then yeah, weeks went by, you know, like a week went by, and I was like, okay. And then it's weird because a week went by, and just as that week kind of happened, I had already like started losing hope. I was like, okay, this is not happening. But then because I applied to this on LinkedIn told me that they had viewed my job application a week later, or like just a week later. And so I was like, oh, okay, so maybe there's still like a possibility, like maybe I'm still in the running. But then another week went by and still nothing. And at this point, I think I was just completely ghosted. And I hate thinking about it, because like this was really, I know a job shouldn't matter that much, but this kind of felt like a make it or break it situation. Like, this would have gotten me into a whole new industry that I'm really trying to break into, that's already so difficult to get into. And there are so few positions, especially a position like that is so hard to come by. Like, it's kind of like a one in a million situation. Like, it does not happen very often, or really even ever. Like, I was shocked to find something like that, and it was kind of perfect. Like, it was even here in Miami, which is insane. Like, I was so hopeful, but no. And because of that, I was really dreading coming back, because I was like, what am I gonna do now? Because I feel like I've transitioned into this new era post-grad where I'm like, okay, I liked, you know, chasing the dreams, and it's not like I'm necessarily completely giving up on it. Like, I'm still gonna make art, I'm still gonna make my videos, but that needs to be sidelined. Like, I want to do something stimulating. I want to do something real, and I want to work on something that I'm excited about. And that's not what I was doing in the past anymore. That's something new. But finding something new isn't like, it's not just like I can create it. Well, I guess if I really wanted to, I'm like standing by this fact that you can create your own opportunities now, but it's one of those things that you have to put in the work for. And with a lot of grit, at some point, hopefully something works out, but it's not guaranteed in any way. So I've been really trying to just like brainstorm as to like, what is my entrance strategy? Like, how do I get into this? And I'm hopeful. I guess I do kind of have an opportunity sort of like sitting in the palm of my hands that, you know, if nothing else works out, I very likely will end up doing that. But for now, I'm kind of just like in this period of time where there's this open gap, and it's kind of like, what do I do with this open gap? And I think that's why I was dreading coming home, because I was like, what is my purpose? Like, what am I gonna do now? You know, I'm like looking for something new, and I kind of could feel it within me, and it has yet to hit. And whether it'll actually hit or not, maybe I'll be able to curb it, but I kind of just had this feeling in my mind in the days leading up to us leaving that when I got back home, I would fall into this deep depression, because I don't know, that just like feels like where I'm at right now, especially because again, I thought, oh, maybe I'll have something set up and it'll be all good and then I'll have something new. But no, I don't have that. And now I'm feeling just a little defeated, I guess. But so far I've been doing good. So far I've actually been feeling good. So yeah, but I was really not excited to come back, and I very much considered extending my trip for a lot longer. All right, what else? I think honestly, just tune into my TikTok, watch my most recent TikToks if you're interested in seeing what has been going on India-wise, because I did record as much as possible, especially the exciting parts. I mean, there were days where we kind of just like sat at home and it wasn't like much happened. But whenever we did go out or see something, do something, I tried to capture it because I just think it's a nice way to have sort of that memory of what you did. And yeah, like I said, I kind of have been enjoying that content that I've been making recently. And now it's kind of a matter of figuring out how do I continue that kind of content? Because I feel like it's a little bit more dynamic. It's more exciting. It's, I don't know, it's different from what I was doing before, for sure. There's not as much of me sitting in front of my camera and just talking. It's more like me doing and then me sharing what I've been doing as you watch me doing it, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, it's a lot of voiceover content now, and I've been loving that. And so, yeah, I mean, I have no clue what I'm going to do in the next days that I'm here, what my life is going to look like for the next couple months. Of course, I'm working on trying to get something, some sort of something, anything. But since that is just a work in progress for now, my life isn't entirely exciting. I'm also not feeling too thrilled or excited to really like go out and do stuff. Like, I don't really completely want to be here, but that's fine, right? And yeah, just a little recap on some more exciting things that happened while I was in India. Number one, I got to meet and connect with a cousin of mine. Of course, I have like so many cousins in India. It's kind of insane. Or yeah, from my Indian family. But this one is just the same age as me, also just graduated college, also is not completely sure, I mean, or at least doesn't have a job, like has been applying to jobs and all that. And so we actually ended up hanging out three different times. First two times was with the older adults too, so it was kind of hard, like no real one-on-one time. But then last time we actually went to an art class together, which was a really cool experience. I actually really love, the one thing I really appreciate about Delhi, I mean, Delhi is also just so insanely beautiful, but the one thing I really appreciate about Delhi is the fact that they have so many different events and activities and stuff like that. Obviously people, or I guess my aunt asked for me to some of my cousins. I don't know how to explain this. Basically there was a lot of conversation of like, what should Sophia do when she's here? You know, cause I was spending most of my time with much older adults. Like there weren't really people of my age, but of course there was a conversation of like, what can we do that's a little bit more like age friendly to Sophia? And like there's like a weekly reading club at this park, and they have this like art center where they do art classes every, I don't know if it's like week or every couple of days, something like that. Like there's just so much to do there, and it was just exciting. Like it was exciting to just see all the possibilities of like different things that I could do and different things I could experience. And there was so much more that I wanted to experience while I was there, but obviously limited time. Hopefully I'll be back at some point and maybe even for a longer period of time so I can really like integrate into the culture. Because I will say when I'm there, I do very much feel like a foreigner, and I feel like I always will feel like a foreigner because ultimately I am a foreigner. It doesn't matter that I have that Indian blood in me. Like if you look at me, I'm a foreigner. And no one is buying the fact. Especially the moment I open my mouth, like it's over for me. If I open my mouth, everyone knows I'm a foreigner and that's the way I'm gonna be treated. But just in general, like I feel like a foreigner because it's such a different world and such a different culture. And it's hard for me to like wrap my head around the fact that that's how people are living because it's not how I'm used to living. And yet people are living that way. And yeah, it really does take a lot of time to transition into, okay, this is how this works here. And then when I come back, like I'm still in that kind of like cultural mindset. And I was like talking about things to my sister yesterday, and then my mom overheard and she's like, why are you talking about that? And I was like, because this is how people live in India. Like there are people out there who actually live this way, you know? So, and I just came back from it. So I'm still kind of in that cultural mindset, even though still I will forever be a foreigner there. And I will never completely understand what it is like to grow up and live in India. And that's something I really realized. Like I have this long lost cousin-ish. I have a lot of long lost cousins. Like I have so many cousins, but it's funny. I was at this birthday party for one of my nephews who I also had never met before, but to be fair, he's only 2 years old. But anyways, there was this birthday party for one of my nephews and I wasn't even going to go, but then my other cousin, so many cousins guys, was going and he was like, come with. And I was like, okay, fine. So we went, and let me just tell you, if you've ever seen those like Kardashian birthday parties, like kids' birthday parties, it was kind of on that level, but like Indian version, but like, yeah, kind of on that level. Like guys, it was a lot, but it was a fun experience. I was like, whoa, like this is a birthday party for a 2-year-old who has no clue what's going on, but I'm loving this. Like what an ambiance. There's a whole table of food just for the kids. not for the adults, just for the kids. We've got a DJ playing the kids' songs. There's a bar. There's a bounce house. There are servers coming up to me every 2 minutes asking me if I want something to eat. Anyways, at that birthday party, there weren't too many childless adults, you know, because it was a kid's birthday party. And at some point, my cousin and I are sitting at this table with not a childless adult. He fully had a son, but they're chatting. I'm just sitting there existing. I was like, I have no one to talk to. I have no reason to be here. Like, this is a birthday party for a two-year-old. But at some point, another childless adult kind of comes to the table and he's like, I see that you guys are conversing. Like, I'm going to come sit here. And so he introduces himself. He's like, yeah, I'm from, oh my God, this is so complicated to explain. Basically, the cousin that took me is from this child's grandmother's side. Oh my God. Wait, okay. So we are related to this child and his father through his mother. Does that make sense? So like from the mother's side. Or no. I said we, not we. He is. I am related to this cousin of mine who has the child whose birthday party we were at, not just from his mother's side, but also from his father's side. I am related to both sides. So, okay, love that. I kind of had forgotten that, even though I knew that the marriage was between same family, but I kind of had forgotten that when I was there. And so when this guy sits down, he's like, yeah, I'm from the father's side. And we're both like, oh, cool. I don't think anything of it. 20 minutes later, my aunt, the one that, you know, I'm related to, like the relation, God, this is so complicated to explain, comes up and she's like, oh my gosh, Sophia, have you met your cousin? And I was like, you're talking about the guy that we just got introduced to, like who just sat down here? And she was like, yeah, like he's from the other side, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, right. I forgot. Of course I'm related to like everyone here. It really did feel like I was related to everyone. Like it's, yeah, there's just, anyway, so I met him. He's 34. And he ended up asking if I wanted to get like coffee at some point. So literally my last full day there, I met him and we sat down over a little morning drink. So I got like a juice. And what was the point of this conversation? I don't think there was a point to that conversation. Oh, right. So we like sit down and all that. And like, I've never met him before. So obviously there's a lot to catch up on. But I did actually remember his mom. He's a third cousin of mine. So a little further down, but like, I still know a lot. I know and don't know a lot of my third cousins. I was talking about like how I'm really dreading going back and all that. And he was like, you should stay. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it. And he was like, no, like you should stay. And I was like, yeah, no, I've been thinking about it. And he was like, no, like you should actually stay. Like kind of almost insisting that I should stay. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit because then I was like, oh my God, like if I stay, like I'm in this sort of foreign world. But he's like, things are just so much easier here, like blah, blah. And he was like, just like really hyping up India. And like, I truly do believe that things could be easier there. Personally, well, I don't know, but like, I don't know, it just feels easier from what I was sensing. But when he kept like saying that, I felt kind of suffocated. And he was obviously like talking so highly of India and all that, and like Delhi and living there and being there and the life that you can have there and all that. And I was like, this sounds wonderful. But that's when it hit me. I will never understand that perspective, the perspective that he was trying to like demonstrate to me or share with me, because I didn't grow up in India. Like this man fully grew up in India, and then at some point in his adulthood he like went off and spent time in Canada and then also the United States and then came back. And I guess coming back for him was refreshing because this is home for him. But for me, it's not home. The United States is home. And I am so much more accustomed to the culture and society there. And I feel very much like a foreigner. And as much as, yes, I did want to stay. And yes, I do want to know the culture and society there so much better and like really come to understand it. I feel like I will forever feel somewhat like a foreigner because I didn't grow up there. I think it really is such a difference knowing a place if you grew up there and if you didn't grow up there. And I think you can sort of supplement that feeling if like you end up moving to somewhere where you didn't grow up, but then living there for a really long time, for like decades. But I don't know, like, I guess if I asked my parents, like, oh, do you still feel a little bit like a foreigner here in the United States because you didn't grow up here? Are you accustomed to the culture and society here? They might say like, yeah, it still feels a little off, even though they've been here for, I mean, my dad's been here for nearly or actually, yeah, more than 40 years now, I think. And my mom has been here probably for like 30 years or so. So that's a really long time to be here. And yeah, I'm sure that there's a part of them that still feels a little bit like, because it's not where they grew up. And that's, I think, why like you really see their spark come back when they go back home, because that's where they grew up. And that's like the place that they knew the best until they moved away. And it'll always be home for them, because it's like if you grow up in a place like that's, it's so formative being there. So yes, I do hope that India doesn't feel as foreign to me one day. I hope that I can spend more time there. And I mean, like actually more time, like not just a couple weeks at a time. I mean, maybe even months or possibly even years. I don't know if I would even consider that, but like maybe one day. But for now, I feel like I have a very difficult time not feeling completely foreign there. And I think with that, I'm going to close off this episode. It is now 11 a.m. exactly. And yeah, that was my India experience. And I will say, I don't know if I want to say I'm happy I'm back, but it's like, it is kind of nice being back. Like, it was especially nice seeing my mom and my sister and just being back home. I don't exactly want to leave the house. Like, I actually really don't want to leave the house. The idea of leaving the house is dreadful to me, but yeah. I kind of like, I try to remember that if I wanted to go back to India in the near future, it's not off limits. Like, it is always going to be my second home and I can always go back. So maybe I will. Who knows? And with that being said, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys in my episode next week. Bye. Love you all.